My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Yeah, Friday. What's up? Welcome in a football Friday on Grant and Danny, September 13th, 2024. We've got an excellent show planned for you today. We will scout the New York Giants with Dan Duggan, who covers the team for The Athletic at 3, and Dan Orlovsky of ESPN will help us break down Jaden Daniels' first performance and what to expect from the young quarterback moving forward. Dan Orlovsky on Grant and Danny today at 5:30, right here on The Fan. What's up, Daniel?
Hey, dude. Last night, the football, she was good. It went just the way you and I thought, right? Miami beat competitive early season Dolphins, better than late season Dolphins, except the exact opposite. Scary situation with Tua last night, which we'll talk about here in a second, but good theater there on the Amazon Prime.
Yeah, Thursday night football matchup on paper that looked better, certainly, than the game played out. But I guess we could start right there on a football Friday. Couple of things before we get into Tua's concussion and the dramatic scene that played out last night. The Bills at 2-0 now look very, very different than previous Buffalo teams.
Mm-hmm.
In a way, maybe, that we'll see, but could be helpful to them into the winter and maybe into the playoffs. They run the ball a little more effectively. 7 yards a pop last night for James Cook. Seems like, despite less wide receiver production, they're getting some decent play from their tight ends. Dalton Kincaid, their second leading receiver last night. Josh Allen didn't really have to do a whole lot. Threw for 139 yards, only ran for 2 yards, and had a passing touchdown, but it didn't matter. They had a pick six. They were also great defensively.
They were, I thought.
That team is pretty much devoid of stars on defense in the back end at this point. They've lost a lot of talent. They've got a bunch of guys injured. They've got some good football players. But DeMar Hamlin, who barely made their team last year, is starting at safety and is their leading tackler. And they're taking teams away. And over the last 6 quarters of football, at least, with their come-from-behind win over Arizona and the victory over Miami last night, they've been exceptional on that side of the ball under Sean McDermott.
Yeah, thoroughly impressive. I mean, that was the story to me more than, again, two is the headline, and again, we'll get there in a second. But defensively, they were really, really good. They did the thing that's really hard to do. You took multiple big plays and options away. There was no Tyreek Hill streaking past everybody. There was no Jalen Waddle if you spent too much time on Tyreek Hill. I mean, they got theirs. They got a few receptions here and there. I mean, Hill went 3 for 24. Waddle was 4 for 41. You signed up for that sight unseen. They allowed Devin Achane to run over them a little bit here and there. They got gashed on the ground some, but that's fine. If Miami has to do that, you'll take that every single time if you're Buffalo. I thought defensively they were outstanding. Von Miller looked like, 7-8 years ago, Von Miller getting by people, not like 8 sacks or anything, but he was constantly in the backfield. His presence made it known. I thought Buffalo defensively last night was beyond impressive.
I also thought last night in some ways was kind of a referendum on fandom and how we all act during games. Me, you included, everybody, all of us, in the sense that Tua was playing bad football. And he was just getting destroyed by every Dolphins fan, by every NFL analyst, and everyone's crushing him. It's not personal, right? You're just talking about how a guy's playing. But then immediately, that was forgotten. He was a human being laying on the field with yet another concussion, very obviously, after a 3-pick performance with a pick six. And all of a sudden you go, who cares about that?
Mm-hmm.
Who cares that he didn't play very well? His career is in jeopardy potentially. He, for those of you that didn't see, ran forward on a fourth down. I think probably, Danny, because the game had gone so badly for him individually and for the team, kind of felt like on that fourth down he didn't have a choice but to go move the chains, desperation mode, change the narrative a little bit.
You're trying to make a play right there. I get it.
Stays in the middle of the field and doesn't slide. He does the fall forward thing that we've been talking about a lot with Jaden Daniels and others. Lamar Jackson does it. And I didn't even think he took a massive hit.
No.
Damar Hamlin, by the way,
yep,
who once died on the field, was the guy on the tackle for the Buffalo Bills. He didn't do anything wrong. It wasn't dirty. But it was a very awkward hit on Tua, whose head got bent to the side, whose neck kind of gets, you know, he goes into draft mode. The neck's as long as it can be as he's getting jammed back toward his body.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately in that fencing posture that we've seen from him before, is on the field, and it was just a petrifying scene. One of those things where on your timeline, everyone's just saying, oh no.
Yep.
The reaction in the bar is silence. And on the field, it's the old Joe Theismann just got brought to the ground, and everyone's waving to the sideline to say, this ain't good.
Yeah, we know this isn't your normal run-of-the-mill hit. And as you said, it looked not innocuous, but it looked closer to that than one of those, okay, you can see this is a devastating blow that was delivered. This is two freight trains hit each other head-on. You know, a helmet spins around or something crazy. It looked awkward, but not to the point where you go, oh, my God, this is devastating. But then, of course, the subsequent reaction. And it's not lost to me that it was Hamlin. I don't really have a bigger picture thing to say than that, but the same guy that a little, you know, not that long ago, as you said, was dead on the field and had to be brought back to life by first responding paramedics, was the guy that, quote unquote, delivered the hit. All he did was step up to try to make the tackle, try to make the stop there on a fourth down, and Tua goes down. This is now three pretty serious concussions, it seems like, within not that long of a time for the Dolphins quarterback.
So this was the play last night on Amazon Prime, Thursday Night Football, as Tua leaves with a concussion.
Pressure. Tua steps up. He's going to run for the first down and takes a shot at the six-yard line.
Kaylee Hartung, the reporter soon thereafter on the sideline, had this on Prime.
Once more to Kaylee.
Guys, the Dolphins tell us Tua Tagovailoa will not return to this game. He has been ruled out with a concussion. They were able to determine that just 6 minutes after he left the field and went into the locker room.
Yeah. A little irony there. He got hit by Damar Hamlin, who, you know, that history.
So that was Al Michaels last night on the call. A lot of different ways we can go with this. My reaction, though, really to the reaction has been, I don't know how to say it other than I am uncomfortable with the number of people that are telling Tua Tagovailoa what to do. The amount of people that have come out and said he has to retire, you should retire, do what's best for your family, many of whom, I'm sure, in the football analyst business as former players or former executives or whatever, probably have met him, but a lot of them don't know him at all. But it really doesn't matter. I've been borderline uncomfortable, Danny, with how many people are so comfortable saying that. Now, everyone's entitled to their own opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can tell you personally myself, as a father with three kids, I believe he has two, I'd have to think long and hard about it. But to me, that was a weird immediate reaction, and I understand how we get there. I don't think it's nefarious, but I guess I'm Team Mike McDaniel, who talked about it today and basically said it's not in his best interest. And McDaniel made a great point. He's like, if I come out and say I think he should retire, and Tua hears that he doesn't want to retire, well, that's terrible. If I come out and say, no, I want him to play football, and he wants to retire, well, that's terrible. He said there's really no upside to me giving that opinion or anybody else giving any opinion. It doesn't help him at all right now. And I tend to agree with that a little bit.
It's an interesting perspective, because I don't think me saying, so let me just, I'll introduce my thought. If you're asking me, Danny, what's your advice? No one is. But if you're asking me, I'd go, you should retire, dude. I feel comfortable saying that just because of what I've seen of his career. But that doesn't mean that I get to make the choice for him. I'm not lecturing him.
Yeah,
totally. Does that make sense?
Exactly. And I'm not saying people shouldn't be giving opinions, right? We're all in the business of doing so. And so if someone said, hey, Grant, what would you do if you were Tua? And maybe that's what everybody's doing. But it feels more, at least online, I would say, more of like a, what are you doing, dude? You have a family. And I don't know, that to me just crosses a strange line where you have no idea what it's like. Number one, what the conversations are like with his family, with his parents, with his wife, what they all want. But also just in general, you know, his whole being is tied into this identity in football. I can relate to this having basically broadcasted since I was 10 years old. If this thing's ever ripped away from me, I'm going to have some long sessions on somebody's couch at some point, right? I mean, so much of your DNA and what you think you provide is tied into like what you've been and how you're seen. It's just really easy for people as they dip into the bag of chips again to go, dude, you got to retire, man. I don't want to see you in the fencing position again. And there's, I think that's different than just saying no one should have an opinion, if that makes sense.
No, I know, and I try to offer the distinction there. So, obviously, it's up to him. My recommendation is to retire immediately, walk away. I had the same one for Alex Smith after his injury. My own personal viewing, it was hard for me to stomach it. I'm sitting there cringing every time he drops back. And I think that will be my experience watching the Dolphins if he's quarterbacking for them again. But the only reason I don't go to the same place you do, and I understand your point very well, I think it's a good one, is I don't think it's coming from a malicious place. Like I think it's coming from a place of, dude, this is legit and scary and horrifying, and we're all hoping that you can see that, that you understand that this is up. Oh, got his bell rung, which is what used to be, you know, ESPN's jacked up. Like we're doing highlights of these big hits where guys are leaving the field now and they can't walk straight. And we used to think that was charming. Now we know the difference. The people who are saying, like, dude, you should walk away from this game, aren't doing it because they're not lecturing him. It's a, oh my God, this is really bad kind of thing. You know what I mean?
Sure.
So I don't have the same animus for it, I guess.
I think there's something to that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I also think it's silly to assume that he doesn't know more about his situation than anybody
totally.
Else. Like, I think you said somewhere in there, I hope he knows that. Well, I would be willing to bet that he does. You know what I mean? Like,
I don't know.
You don't think that he's being counseled by people on you know, what the ramifications were for the hit and the recovery and what happens if he has another one? I'd be willing to bet that he has a better feel for his situation than Larry in Landover or Grant in Lorton. But, you know, I guess it's possible that they're pulling the wool over him and he doesn't really know. This is Mike McDaniel after the game last night at the podium, I believe.
I think it would be so wrong of me to even sniff that subject, and it's more in line of actually caring about the human being, and you know that's something that entirely you're talking about his career, right? His career is his, you know, and that's something that I think. I just really, really, really wish I totally understand it. And it's not misplaced. I totally get how that's where people want to go to. I just wish that people would for a second hear what I'm saying, that bringing up his future is not in the best interest of him.
I should point out that was McDaniel today
yeah.
With the media, not last night. Antonio Pierce, who's a coach of another team in the NFL, was asked about this, which is interesting.
Yeah, it was odd.
And he gave an answer. This was one of the ones where I thought, again, this is very powerful. This is a strong statement, and I'm not saying he's wrong for making it, but it's just strange to me that another team's coach is giving Tua advice on what he should do.
I'll be honest. I'll just tell him to retire. It's not worth it. It's not worth to play the game. I haven't witnessed anything like I've seen that's happened to him three times. Scary. You can see right away the players' faces on the field. You can see the sense of urgency from everybody to get Tua help. I just think at some point, you know, he's going to live longer and he's going to play football. Take care of your family.
I don't think he said anything wrong. And I think as a former player, he's got a perspective that's certainly better on this maybe than anything I could provide. But you don't see that very much.
No, that's unusual. And I'm sure he was asked about it. I didn't see the entirety of their press conference. Obviously, I heard that audio.
I doubt it. He came out and said,
"Hi, everybody. Before we start, I have a statement.
Before we talk about the game, I'd like to tell the Miami Dolphin quarterback that he needs to step away."
But it shows you, you know. Again, I don't think it's misplaced. And I think that's the only thing I'm trying to offer here. Whether I feel like it's 100% appropriate that another coach is talking about another team's quarterback, in general, I wouldn't say that's the right thing. This is, I guess the whole point of this discussion to me is that this is different than your regular Monday morning breakdown of the games yesterday. This is sure. One of those hug your kids kind of moments where like, this is scary. Like, this is downright life. This is life stuff, you know, kind of beyond dropping back.
Scary is a great word.
Yeah.
Because that's, to me, when you see like Luke Kuechly with those tears streaming down his face and the uncontrollable emotions after mm-hmm. his concussion, there are these moments where guys lose control of their bodies a little bit in front of you. And that is obviously, if you know anything about CTE or you watch the movie Concussion, inevitably what happens and can lead to some major, awful, terrible things as these guys' lives go on. And I think that's what everybody's afraid of, is just the quality of the life moving forward for Tua. My point is just no different than a knee or an ankle or an arm or anything else. And I know that head trauma is worse and a bigger deal and more serious. It's up to him. I mean, it's inevitably, it's his mm-hmm. call. If he wants to keep playing and keep going out there and trying, that's on him. We remember the story, by the way, that he had done all the jujitsu to help himself with how he
learned how to fall better, yeah.
And last year he didn't have any concussions, and mm-hmm. supposedly that solved it. The problem with that is, and not to bring this to Jaden Daniels, but the problem with the whole, you know, it's okay if he doesn't slide because he can fall forward. It just takes the one time. You know, it just takes the, oh, that was an awkward hit. And it wouldn't happen probably 89, 95 times out of 100, but this time it did.
Mm-hmm.
It's an inevitability when you're running around on that football field between the numbers. I mean, it just is. It's a fast, violent game, and collisions are completely part of it. They're intrinsic, and they're inevitable, and you're not going to beat those, I don't think. There was also the story that he'd lost a little weight this offseason, yep. which didn't make a lot of sense. Same with Lamar losing the weight, obviously. I don't think the weight had anything to do with last night.
Not that one particularly, no. But
again, you know, each situation's probably different. Taylor's in Upper Marlboro on G&D. What's up, Taylor?
Hey, guys. How's it going? Thank you for taking my call.
Got it, buddy.
I actually called 2 years ago when he had the really, really bad concussion. And if you watch those tapes of the replay of the concussion or the hits he took last night, they all just seem to be back-of-the-head type of hits, right? And, again, we saw the play. It didn't look like it was, like, a super bad, you know, knock-him-off-his-teeth type of thing, but it leads me to think that he may already have some bruising or some type of damage to the rear of his skull or to his brain that is allowing these hits to be so severe or affect him as much. You know, and it's sad to see because, yeah, we're literally going to have to spend probably the rest of the season watching this man decide between his dreams and, like, his life. But, I mean, to me, again, I'm not a medical professional or anything, but I feel like the stacking of the hits and the fact that he's landing on the back of his head almost 88% of the time, it's kind of jarring to me. And like I said, he's in that fence thing. This isn't the first. Second, it's like the third time we've seen Tua lock up after hitting his head.
Yeah, and I think each of them has been on primetime in these, you know, games that everybody's watching, which adds to it too. But he said something there that's true when he talked about choosing between his dreams and his life. I mean, I don't think it's overly dramatic to say, like, a lot of people's fear when you say this is not coming from a bad place. It's not just the, hey, this is uncomfortable for me to watch. It's a, what happens the next time? I mean, are we going toward a point where, like, he got up and he walked off and everyone kind of claps and you're on to the next? But we don't know how many. It's not linear. Like, does the next one he walks off? Nobody really knows exactly. And to his point, we don't know what's going on in his head.
No.
I don't mean what he's thinking as much as what damage is done or isn't done. He might have the best CT scan of anybody on the team, for all I know. But it's also possible he's got irreparable damage already. I'm not a doctor. I don't even know if doctors can tell. A lot of the tests that get done for CTE can't even be done until it's posthumous after the fact, and you find out tragically, you know, how banged up an issue in a skull was. So it's a mess. It's not a good situation, but man, it seems like it's always national TV for him, and everybody's weighing
in. I mean, the NFL's public as it is, but this is extremely public for him.
His situation especially. Now, I should qualify this with, his recovery is all that matters. But I do think from a football standpoint, maybe a question people have is about his contract. because he signed that $53 million a year contract this offseason. Again, we do a football show. I'm just pointing this out. A SpotTrack posted this today. The deal included $167 million in guaranteed for injury, $43 million of which has already been paid. So $167 million for injury is Tua's, even if he doesn't play again, if he just decides to hang around. If he's medically cleared to return, the Dolphins, let's say, who have a say in all of this, if they go, hey, Tua, you don't have a concussion anymore. You got to come back and you got to play, or they want him to ultimately, and he opts to retire still, then he would forego the rest, that $124 million that's guaranteed. If he's medically forced into retirement where they say, we don't like the scans, we don't like what's going on here, then he can still collect the $124 million, and there's really no reason for him to play because you're getting the money anyway. Now, again, all that matters is his health. I understand that. I just think those
numbers, a data point,
in case people are wondering, like, what are some of the things that could be weighing on his mind, that's how it would work, is basically, would the team be willing to say, we're giving you your guarantees, medically it's just not right for you to keep playing, or would they be of the position that they want him to come back and play because he's no longer having concussion symptoms, and at that point, $124 million is kind of...
hanging in the balance, Yeah, I mean, it is... You're right. I mean, in the obviously, media concerns are him, his health, and you know whatever next I think will be dealt with. But that is something that's kind of hanging over the franchise's head. I mean, so the deal is signed because the double concussion, I think it was 2 and 4 days, if memory serves, for him in 2022 when it happened. His head slammed to the back of the ground a couple times. He was in the game. The independent neurologist allegedly checked him out and said that he was fine, which is absurd. And he was back at practice the next day, whatever the hell that saga was. I may have the details fuzzy there. But that was an embarrassment for the league's concussion protocols. So 2023 happens. I learned kung fu or jujitsu or whatever, so I'm not going to fall hard. He gets through that year concussion free. So now the Dolphins signed the contract, and here we are now in week number two with what looked like a pretty serious thing. So yeah, I mean it's an uncomfortable discussion certainly to have when you have to approach it.
Tyler says saying Tua should retire is in the best interest of his health. If he continues, the reality is repeated brain injuries will ultimately lead to death, and I don't want to see it. It's negligent and inhuman to allow this to continue. I don't disagree that he shouldn't retire, but I'm going to defer to doctors, you know, rather than just your opinion that it's negligent and inhumane. I can have my own opinions, which are probably not that different than yours in terms of what he should do, but I'm a big believer in the grown-ups and the professionals in fields kind of making those decisions, and what the medical people tell him to do is what he should do, in my opinion, not what, you know, Frank in Section 413 thinks. Grant and Danny on the Fan. The Commanders are getting ready for the Giants this weekend. What do you need to see from Washington to feel better in week two? We'll get into that next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some from my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a Football Friday on Grant and Danny, which means all of our Football Friday staples. We'll go over under projections for Commanders players. We'll give you our top five NFL games of the week. Biggest storylines for every week two game in the NFL and our confidence points picks. Should be a juicy Football Friday. But let's begin with the Commanders and the Giants. Now, just a couple of days out from the first home game of the season, over in Landover. What do you need to see from the Commanders to feel a lot better in week two? We're going to open up the phones on this right now at 800-636-1067. We want to hear from you on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lines. It's been of a bit of a pessimistic week, understandably. They got walloped by 17 and the game wasn't that close. But what would lead to you feeling like maybe week one was fluky, misleading, or the Bucs were just a bad matchup? And for you to feel a lot better come week two.
Offense coming from the offense. I need the offense, a.k.a. Cliff Kingsbury's designs, his schemes, the concepts, everything, to generate the yardage. When the game is in doubt, it can't just be Jaden Daniels here to scramble around and make everybody right. I can't have that. I can't have, with just a couple minutes left in the third quarter, more than half of the team's total yards be via Jaden Daniels scramble. I like him scrambling. I'm all in favor of it. Get out of trouble, get out of danger, give me some positives. The only thing they did in that game this past week that had a positive EPA, expected points added, was Jaden Daniels scrambling. I'm not anti him scrambling. What I am anti is an offense that's anemic, that doesn't do anything. I can't have that through three quarters of the game before Tampa goes into a shell because they're up by more than three touchdowns. I need the offense to generate yardage. I need Eckler involved. I need the timing. I need holes poked in a vulnerable Giants defense. I need things exploited. I need yards after the catch. I need the design to yield some results. That, to me, is what I'm looking for this weekend.
I'll start on the other side of the ball. I need a defense that makes life more difficult for the opponents. It was way too easy for Tampa Bay. They got whatever they wanted. Mm-hmm. They did whatever they wanted. They ran the football. As that game went on in the second half and Washington's defense and the Heat wore down, they were able to be two-dimensional. But throughout the game, for the most part, it was just wide-open real estate in the passing game. They didn't really, even though they rushed the quarterback okay, get the quarterback to the ground because they weren't able to rush with enough vision to keep Mayfield in the pocket. On the 14 targets to Godwin and Evans, 13 were completions. It was just easy money in the secondary. It was a 298-yard four touchdown quarterback performance, just kind of throwing against air. I need everything to come more difficult against this defense. The old adage used to be defend every blade of grass, right? Mm-hmm. You want them to earn and work for everything. Even if you're under-talented, you can be a lot better at that than they were. And they are under-talented, no doubt about that. But that's where the coaching we've heard so much about is going to have to come in here. I just want it to be more arduous. Mm-hmm. And it will be because the Giants offense isn't as good as Tampa's, because instead of Evans and Godwin and McMillan, you've got Malik Nabers and Pray for Rain, basically. because instead of Baker Mayfield playing his butt off, the best version of him is, you know, a top 12 to 15 passer in the league. He's probably closer to 20th overall. You got Daniel Jones, who's coming off of a dud, who is on the verge maybe of being supplanted as a starter if he can't pick it up. So it's going to be a little bit better defensively just by default, but I want them to tackle better. I want them to have better vision coming downhill in the rush game defensively, and I want them to be more assignment sound on the back end. I don't need coverage busts. It could have been even worse than it was with receivers running free. Just make life more difficult on the Giants.
What you're talking about on defense is kind of my Greg Williams corollary. It's sort of how I feel about defense in general. To have a great defense, you need great players who, you know, who are unblockable and are excellent. If you don't have that, if everyone's assignment sound, you just make it tough on the opponent. You know what I mean? That's what Greg Williams' whole deal was. Like, I don't care what you do, Grant Paulson linebacker. You put your right shoulder on the left shoulder of the pulling guard, and that's your job. Then the next guy's got a job. We all do that. Our defense is okay. That's kind of always how I viewed it. That's not what it looked like in week one, especially with a couple of the defensive minds.
Well, the entire league, there's a trend that doesn't quite mesh with what we see in Washington. And what I mean by that is, it's gotten harder to throw the football since last season in the NFL. It's been the easiest it ever was before over the last several years. The getting's been good at the quarterback position. But that's kind of drying up a little bit. We had 34 passing touchdowns between all 32 teams in week one of the NFL season. 34. There were 61 of them 3 years ago. We have not seen numbers this low. Only 8 of 24 quarterbacks in football went over 1.5 passing touchdowns in week one. Think about that. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, Baker Mayfield was not only one of them, but he's one of the league leaders in every category. 17 quarterbacks threw the ball 20 or more times and had under 200 yards passing. That has not happened since the merger. 24 quarterbacks had one or fewer passing touchdowns despite 20-plus attempts. That has not happened since the 1970 merger. So the trend in the league is everybody's running with cover two, deep safeties, basically forcing you underneath intermediate, and you're having to go on these 10, 12, 14-play drives. You're either going to run the football and get your 3 to 5 at a time and just go on a long drive, or you're going to have to throw the ball short and safe. Not against Washington last week.
Nope.
They didn't get with the program. Not against Washington at any point last year where this was the trend in the league. So I don't know why they can't do that. Just be like everybody else. Not every defense is great. You have your safeties deep. You force things underneath. You make a team go on a 10-play drive like the Giants that's not that good, by
the way. Actually, I think that's really smart, Grant.
And there's a penalty that sets you behind the chains. There's a turnover eventually. They're not going to score 30 if they got to get 11 plays to get their 75 yards.
You're a bit of a crossroads here. If you're Dan Quinn and Joe Witt, your ideal defense isn't that, what you're just describing. Because these guys are wired to think, our defense can be so good, we'll generate turnovers, we'll wreak havoc, we'll dictate to people, and all the machismo words that you use at press conferences about violent arrivals and people aren't going to like playing us and we're thumping, whatever you want to call it.
You may not have the players for that yet.
And that's kind of my point, is this may be a swallow your ego time and go, you know what? We're going to have to give some stuff up. We're not good enough to take everything away just yet. We could take a couple things away, like nothing over the top, no over the top touchdowns. No busted coverages where guys point each other and then after the play they pointed to let you know that it wasn't my fault or whatever. None of that crap. Play, you know, in the shell. Make Daniel Jones throw it to Wandale Robinson 4 or 5 times on a drive and see if that gets you a punter hopping on the field. Maybe you have to check your ego at the door.
Let's go to Brian, who's in Leesburg. What do you want to see done differently in week two for the Commanders against the Giants?
Well, I tell you, the one thing I want to see, and it's going to be kind of like pushing a snowball up a sand dune, is I would like to see a coverage sack. I know that's near impossible, but that's one thing I'd like to see. And the other question I have for you guys is, do I have to go to a specific gate at the stadium to pick up my waffles?
Great question.
Or can you get them anywhere?
It's a great question.
It's a great question. Thank you.
Thank you. Which gate was it? Do we know?
I think it's called the supermarket gate.
Supermarket.
I think you have to go to that one. I think there's like a Wawa gate, maybe. Yes. You could buy some frozen ones.
Bisquick in the supermarket, I believe, is the only place
go
to
get Wegmans.
Kevin's in Arlington. Hello, Kevin.
It's
how are you?
Answer.
Hey, happy Friday, boys.
Buddy.
Yeah, I just read something that our expected points added on D was a negative 16 plus. We were 32nd, boys. 32nd in the NFL in the opening weekend. Now, I've talked on this station with you guys before about the significant investment on D, from coaching to free agents to draftees and to the salary cap allocation. That is unacceptable. Part of that, obviously, is we didn't get them off the field on third down, et cetera, but I am expecting a completely different performance defensively, because if we don't get that, what are we doing here? The offense is going to be fine over time, I think. It's got obvious limitations at wide out, et cetera. But they're not the problem. It's defensively a huge problem, and I can't accept it anymore. I'm pissed.
Appreciate you, buddy.
Thank you, bud.
I'm not digging into the rankings after a game. After two games, I'll look at them. After three, I'll start caring about them. So it's a little early for me. I think they're 29th in yards per play defensively, but not really on my radar just yet. Because as an example, the Ravens are 31st. I think they're going to be a really good defense. They played the Chiefs in the first game of the season. Kind of got to a point where it was a little bit of a shootout back and forth at the end of the game. So some of that can just be matchup and weird stuff. But I understand the frustration, for sure,
yeah,
that it was as bad as it was in the secondary. They don't have Emmanuel Forbes. They're going to run more Michael Davis, more Noah Igbinoghene. Maybe that helps. But what do you need to see to feel better about the Commanders in Week 2? That is the question. 800-636-1067. If you'd like to hop on the MGM National Harbor Listener Lines, we're Grant and Danny, top of the hour. Dan Duggan, who's going to join us from The Athletic, covers the Giants, will help us scout the opponent. The Week 2 slate is outstanding. We'll rank the best games from this second NFL weekend. But even beyond some of the obvious really good games, down the board a little ways, there's a lot of intrigue. What are the Packers going to look like without Jordan Love? Is there any way Malik Willis can turn his career around in a winning organization, in a good offensive situation? The Colts are at the Packers. The Browns play the Jaguars. Feels like a loser-leaves-town game there. Someone's going to start 0-2. Trevor Lawrence just has to get it going. He got paid. The Wolves seem to be caving in, though, with people saying that he just hasn't taken a step forward. And speaking of quarterbacks who aren't well-liked, Deshaun Watson has been terrible since he got to Cleveland, and last week was no different. And then a chance for a surprise 2-0, either the Seattle Seahawks or the New England Patriots, is going to be unbeaten through two games. Mike McDonald had his boys ready to play in Seattle.
Yeah, it wasn't a lot of style points in that one. It was very early Pete Carroll for them, you know, where it was like playing some defense, making it hard for Bo Nix and company, handed it to Kenneth Walker 17,000 times. So not a lot of style points in their Week 1 W, but they were the better team. And I think they're going to be just whatever's above frisky in the NFC West. It's San Francisco's division, but I think Seattle's a playoff team.
And you can make the case they should have beaten the Broncos. They should beat the Patriots, so they probably should get to 2-0. But I'll be curious to see it. New England's defense, they have a good plan. They're a really solid unit. If they could somehow squeak out a win, they won with nothing on offense, nothing from the passing game, really nothing from Jacoby Brissett. They ran the ball, they played defense. Wouldn't that be interesting if a team that everybody was thinking was going to pick first overall and win three or four games started 2-0 in New England? But we'll get into some of those storylines as we go today on Grant and Danny. Get back to the phones. The question for you guys is, what do you need to see done differently to feel a lot better about Washington? You gave us an answer on offense. I gave you one on defense, so let's both flip. On the offensive side of the ball, I need a traditional, legitimate NFL passing game where I've got wide receivers involved early. And I don't mean just on screens at the line of scrimmage, which I have no problem with. You can major in throwing to running backs, the screen game, the horizontal raid. You'll get no argument from me. I'm not one of these people who gets angry about checking the ball down. But you've got to throw the ball in the middle of the field. The weak spot of the Giants' secondary and passing defense has been the 10 to 19-yard area over the last couple of years with their personnel. That's where you should be able to feast, middle of the field, 10 to 19. That has long kind of been, though, one of the weak areas of Cliff Kingsbury's passing attack. And so it's a week-on-week situation here. something's got to give scenario, I'll be very curious to see what happens. But I got to get that receiving room going. I got to find a way to include Terry McLaurin.
On defense, for me, I need Daniel Jones to look like Daniel Jones. He needs to be uncomfortable, right? I can't have a Dillon G All-Stars type situation where a guy that's bad against everybody else is good against you. He's, you know, if he completes a pass or scrambles for his life and gets a first down, that's going to happen. But in general, he can't be comfortable. That's something that I wouldn't be able to live with.
Let's go out to Forest Hill. Ronnie is on the line on Grant and Danny. He gave us a call. What's up, Ronnie?
Hey, Ronnie.
Hey, what's going on? I got a quick question. I don't know. Is there a rule in the NFL when the home team's playing that the only game that could be on TV at the time? I don't know that used to be like that or what. Because I live in Northern Maryland, and at 1 o'clock, I got to get my antenna out so I can pick up Fox 5 because the Baltimore Fox is not picking it up. But I do know CBS in 9 is giving the Ravens game, and the Redskins are going to be on Fox. I just don't understand why. Because who wants to watch the Rams in Arizona at 4 o'clock when everybody's going to be watching Cincinnati and Kansas City? I just want to watch my Skins. I'll get it. I don't know what to do about that. But I want to get off the field on third down. Last week, we had Tampa second and long. And every time on third down, we couldn't stop third down. I want to be able to stop third down. I'm tired of losing the Giants. I'm tired of tying. Go in there and beat the crap out of Daniel Jones. Let's get this W.
Yeah, let's not make it look harder than it should be.
Yeah, 9-13 last week for Tampa, to his point, on third down. That's a good call.
And it was worse than that because that doesn't include the penalty conversion.
That's right.
And they had, I think, three of those in the game.
At least, yeah.
Four penalties on the defense, three came on third down.
Oof. In terms of the broadcasting rights, so there's all sorts of weird stuff. And there are these nebulous zones like in Columbia or different parts where they're like, we assume you want the Ravens. And whether you do or don't, that's what you're getting.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that, but there's no rule that two games can't be on at the same time because 5 and 9 routinely have two games on at the same time. That is a problem of the past for your pal, thanks to my good friends.
Oh, look at that.
At NFL Sunday Ticket.
Look at that.
Let's go to Luke in D.C. on Grant and Danny. Hello, Luke.
Hey, boys. How are you?
Good, dude.
Hey, I could give two turds about Tell the Trick Tuesday. I hope they're using today
as a figure-it-out Friday.
Let's figure it out on Friday. Let's figure out how to get Terry open. Let's figure out how to have some coverage. Let's figure it out how to move the ball down the field without it being jaded and being hero ball. That's what I want. Figure it out Friday.
Thank you, Luke.
Here, here.
First of all, it's a great call.
Tip of the cap on that.
Second,
one.
I already have the Tell the Truth Monday thing is nails on a chalkboard to me already. It's just, I don't know how to describe it. Maybe it's me. I'm too cynical. I'm too much of a jerk, whatever. Dan Quinn seems unbelievably likable. I love how he handles himself in pressers. He calls everyone by their names. He knows everybody. He's very, very friendly. Like, all systems go there. But the whole, this is Tell the Truth Monday. We're not going to dodge any questions. We're going to really answer everything. And this is how we be accountable. It makes my skin crawl.
Tell you what, if they were 6-1, I'd go, put it on a t-shirt, you guys. You know what I mean? Like, I love it. When you get shellacked in week one after all the offseason rhetoric and stuff, I'm like, you know what I don't want to hear? Anything but I'm sorry.
Dan Duggan covers the Giants for The Athletic. We're going to scout the opponent with him coming up right at the top of the hour in 7 minutes. Also, this hour on Grant and Danny, our Commanders over-under projections. We'll go player by player and see what kind of yardage props we like. You're listening to The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.